I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 296, Spider-Man Homecoming.
That has nothing to do with Homecoming from Captain America.
No.
Yeah.
That was just
a little bait and switch.
A nice little F you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if that was
In Cap 2, the Homecoming protocol was how you switched on the Winter Soldier. So that came out, and then they announced it was Spider-Man Homecoming. So we were just like,
he's
the Winter Soldier.
Like, there's going to be some sort of connection.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. I get it now.
So, yeah.
Nope.
Homecoming
time.
Nope. It's just Homecoming.
Which is fine.
So let's go around the table and people can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
And this is Tom. And returning for the something or other engagement. You've been on the show quite a few times at this point. It's Brian.
At least five times at this point, I think.
Yeah. Our greatest returning guest? Our most returning guest?
Most frequent.
Most frequent.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Paul Harris
five timer club.
That's true. Paul Harris has been on a bunch.
Yeah.
Let's see how today goes before you call me the greatest.
Yeah.
You're giving
We already know you're not.
You're giving me a
so,
right home.
So,
yeah. You know.
We can establish right now you are not.
I'll show myself out.
I guess just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. It lets iTunes know that we're alive and people listen. That's never a bad thing.
Nope.
So there, I've done that. And we will now jump in to the movie du jour.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
So it's been a long time coming, right? So Spider-Man debuted with Sony in 2002. Right? That's right.
Yes.
This was the Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the sequel to that in 2004. This is all pre-MCU. Marvel was selling off the properties left and right just to keep themselves afloat.
It's a fire sale.
It was.
Everything must go.
Except for the, you know,
crazy low prices.
And it was at that point.
And there was Spider-Man 3, the famous movie that I peed during.
Yeah. Yeah. Your experience of that movie is so different than everybody else's.
So, and Brian, in case you don't know the story, or people that maybe haven't heard the story. So, I got up to pee. I didn't like wet myself during the film. I was quite
Sandman finally. Oh,
that's not peeing. I was quite a bit younger then, so I had to pee during the movie, and so
your bladder size hasn't changed.
No,
right.
Now he's peeing all the time.
Yes,
he's actually peeing now.
I'm never not peeing. I've always been like, if there was a way to hook up to like a little funnel here, and I could just
that would be great.
Yeah. Do you ever have those moments where you're like, Tom hasn't talked for a while? Wow. It's either Bubble Witch or I'm peeing. Yeah. So
you just gotta wait for the shiver.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, oh, okay, peeing.
I'm full. Like, I would have to pee a lot more, but luckily I have a freakishly large penis, so it holds more.
Well, I would say it's automatically in the toilet already.
Holds more liquid.
It's in the toilet now.
Yeah. If the room was a little closer, I could pee without even leaving the room. So anyway, back to Spider-Man 3. I got up to pee during the dance scene.
Oh, good for you.
So I completely missed the dance scene. So my friends after the movie, it's amazing how much one scene can ruin a movie. They're like, how was Spider-Man 3? And I was like, I mean, it wasn't great, but it was okay. Which, if there was no dance scene, would be your take on that movie.
Right? I don't know, because you still get the weird emo scene where he walks out pre-dance scene, right?
But that's when I got to leave.
Oh, so you didn't see any of it.
Like, right as he started walking down, I'm like, this, I gotta pee. And I ducked out.
But then that, yes, you're
right.
And
I came back, like, right as he was dipping her.
Right, okay.
And I was just like, well, I don't know what that was about, but whatever. And and so afterwards, and then my friends were like, how did you, when they saw the movie, they were like, what are you talking about? This movie was ridiculous. And then I see it when it comes out on home video, and I was like, oh, well, crap.
Isn't that the scene where he's like, dig on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like snapping. He's snapping.
Yeah.
It's so out of place. And I mean,
it's like if you asked your parents to interpret what they think their parents would think cool looks like to kids today.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, it's, oh, what a
that
mess.
Was, I mean, I feel that Sam Raimi didn't get a fair shake with that one. Like, that wasn't him.
Well, they were playing Beat the Clock,
they
right?
They were playing Beat the Clock.
They had
two scripts around that time, wasn't it?
There was a three and a four.
Yeah.
Like, a four was ready to go with Vulture,
mm-hmm.
and then he was just like, no. Like, this is really bad. I'm not going to... I don't have enough time to do this. Like, I don't want to do it.
And so they were like, okay, how about Sandman and Venom?
Sure. Okay. I'm still under contract, right? Great. Perfect. I guess I'll try to get this done.
Like, well, it pays.
Yeah.
So
why did they rush? What was the thing?
They were going to lose the rights.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They have like X amount of time.
Even though they had made the two previous, they have a window.
I think they had, is it like 5 years?
Someone has to be in production.
Yeah.
Well,
does that explain the announcement for Fantastic Four Kids or whatever?
Yes.
Most recently?
Yes.
And that's why they went ahead and rebooted it, because they were trying to get them all back to do another Tobey Maguire version with Sam Raimi. They couldn't work out the timing. Right. And so then they were like, we'll just reboot.
Yeah.
Right. And then they made the first one, which was
It was all right.
You know, and then the second one was awful. And then they were like, well, now we have to figure out, do we reboot again? And then Marvel, cooler heads prevailed, and they were like, let the grown-ups take care of this for you.
We'll take care of the creative process.
Yeah.
You put up the money.
We'll put up our executive producer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Feige was just like, just give me them. Whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. And then you guys will reap the benefits of this movie. And we'll see a dime of it.
And we'll sell the toys and hopefully see an uptick in comic sales. And
we'll steal
blah,
the toys
blah, blah, blah,
along with all of the different costumes he wears in this movie.
Yes. So,
and I do wonder if that, because of what we've seen, if Fox would be like, Fantastic Four.
Isn't Fox notoriously just like, we will never give up a property?
But,
isn't that kind of their deal?
But this Sony hasn't given up the property.
That's true.
And if this works financially, from a business standpoint,
I think it will.
Uh-huh. But if Sony walks away feeling like this was worth doing, then maybe Fox will be like, you know,
maybe this works. Let's go one more time for another a third crap fest.
Well, yeah. But then, but
do it again.
But then you have to ask yourself at the same time is, you know, how many times is Marvel willing to make this deal?
Yeah,
I bet you they're willing to make it at least one more time, and that would be Fantastic Four.
I think they make it two more times
if they could get X-Men back.
X-Men? Not even the X-Men, just give them Wolverine.
But then the problem though is, well, now you're doing three. Yeah. Like that's to have three essentially franchises running that you're not directly reaping the benefits from. Like that's a lot to justify just from a business standpoint.
All altruistic for this first Spider-Man but then anything after that.
And
it's
Spider-Man
like,
is like your, that's their Superman. He's the logo of the company basically. So I mean, it's also a little different.
Yeah, I think they knew that they needed to get him back somehow. And the deal that they made is mutually beneficial.
Absolutely.
And plus it's well done.
So let's talk about the movie itself. Scary at the beginning when you see that there are six screenwriters.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's normally one thing
that we talked about that after the film.
Kiss
of
death.
Which means minimum of six.
Yeah.
Because pretty sure that's the Writers Guild
thing. That's the cap, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Oh, max that you can have credited?
I think so, yeah.
So there could be way more, but there's like a limit.
So does anybody know, does this play off of what that fourth Spider-Man film, the Raimi universe, was?
Does it play into this? Yeah.
They never gave any details about like what the story was going to be with the Vulture.
Right.
But he's one of the only characters they haven't touched yet.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, they're not like DC where it's just like, so we're going to have him fight Lex Luthor again. That's fine.
Perfect. Yeah.
But
perfect.
It's not like he has a rogue's... Oh, the Joker? Perfect. Let's just do that
right.
again.
Yeah.
Right.
So at least they didn't go the Norman Osborn route.
They were very smart and... First off, not rehashing the origin story.
They give you a little. I like the there's one line.
Yeah,
and that's it. He's like, "You got bit by a spider. Can I get bit by that spider?"
Well, and they yeah. and they don't. They never really addressed like, was he responsible for Uncle Ben's right. death?
They don't even mention Uncle Ben. There's they no just, mention
the
of Uncle
closest
Ben.
Closest they get is there's a line where he's like, after all Aunt May went through in the last year,
right?
But it's
so we to assume they touched upon it a little bit in Civil War, didn't they? Wasn't there something?
Did I don't remember now.
I don't think so.
I think you're right.
I thought there was a little bit.
So we're assuming that he's been
very,
Spider-Man.
Yeah, very faint, very small.
At least, I guess.
At the very least, he's been Spider-Man for a year.
Yeah.
So yeah. So the movie opens up all in shaky cam.
Right.
Like, it's Peter Parker. So we flash back to pre...
8 years ago.
Civil War. So we're right before Civil War happened.
Yeah, my math is fuzzy on this, too.
Well, it was
yeah.
8 years ago, so it was post the Battle of New York.
It's post... Oh, that's right.
That's true.
The opening
we really
scene.
Open with Michael Keaton's character.
Right. Michael Keaton has formed this demolition crew, and they are cleaning up. He's made all these bonds and these deals with the city where they are responsible for cleaning up all of the mess that the...
I will say this didn't make a lot of sense. I mean,
I could see like
it
a guy...
Was, you know what it was? It was like, wow, that's how cemented this is into the MCU.
Sure.
Well, yeah. Like, movie universe.
As we've yeah. we talked about, it goes back even further than that where
well,
Peter Parker is the kid in Iron Man 2 wearing an Iron Man helmet who asked Tony Stark. Right. Like, it's one of those things where I'm sure they were going through the movies, they're like,
that would work.
That'll work.
Yeah.
Like, he could be that kid.
Yeah,
because
it's John Favreau's kid.
In the helmet?
In the helmet. Oh, right. And they were like, how old is he? And the math worked out. And they're like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he's Peter Parker.
Yeah.
That's fine.
My
sure.
kid's going to be a cons now.
Yeah, right.
I'm the original Peter Parker.
I was the original MCU Peter Parker. No big deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Michael Keaton has formed this team that they're responsible for cleaning up the city.
And I was just saying, I didn't think it made sense in that he would have had a contract. If they would have stepped in and been like, get out, they would have still had to pay him.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
That's very true.
Like, yeah.
So Tyne Daly shows up.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, is that Cagney?
Cagney?
This was a great movie for like 30-second appearances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
very strange.
I mean, like Donald Glover?
Donald Glover.
That was kind of sad.
So I say, yeah, it was like kind of unnecessary for how much hype there was around,
especially because
his
like,
role.
There was that push, you know, about
that he was going to be
about
Spider-Man.
Making him Spider-Man,
yeah,
and right. So it was kind of sad to see him not only not playing Spider-Man, but playing a criminal.
Right,
like that
right.
seemed yeah. kind of like beneath Donald.
But
Glover?
Like he was the criminal, but then he wasn't a criminal.
Yeah, I like
an ice cream loving criminal.
Yeah,
but
yeah
right. a criminal was, nonetheless.
I did like how they played it, but it was kind of like that just kind of like
yeah. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah, but he is the voice of in Sony's animated Ultimate Spider-Man. He is the voice of Miles Morales.
Gotcha.
He will in that whatever they. I don't know how that's going to work.
Right.
But yeah, he's in that. So yeah. So, not S.H.I.E.L.D. comes in and takes over
damage control,
which is a nice little nod to a Marvel property.
Finally, I feel like that's what the TV series should have been instead of S.H.I.E.L.D. It should have been. Limited series, 6-episode or whatever thing after each major Marvel movie, it comes on and it just deals with the aftermath. And
that would have been all right.
That would have been cool. That's,
but
yeah. Nobody asked.
Yeah, they did 24 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I've written 78 episodes of Damage Control, but nobody asked.
Just verbatim from the book.
Yeah, more or less.
Right.
That didn't run 78 issues.
No. There have been at least maybe 16 issues.
Yeah,
overall though.
Yeah, probably
through
different
the years.
Volumes and stuff.
Yeah.
So Keaton gets all pissed off, and they decide to start stealing.
I like the motivation,
makes
even
sense.
Though I don't think it's plausible. I like the motivation.
Yeah, this was a big thing because I was like, oh, he's just like a salvaging guy, but then suddenly it's like we know how to. Harness and manipulate the energy from the alien world into all these
fancy
weapons.
That's why it was good that they gave it, like, obviously he's going to have some time of mastering his technology, so they gave themselves, like, an 8-year window.
Right.
Because it was, like, the not the Kree, but the other
Chitauri.
Chitauri. Yeah, thanks.
You mean the Kree that they couldn't use? Yeah. That's why they called the Chitauri. Yeah,
they're not Kree beast that they're like, you know, basically salvaging.
Right. Which I thought was cool. Like, I was like, oh yeah, like let's see that
getting
again.
Getting parts off of it.
Right.
That was, like yeah, that. I think that was a nice damage control or whatever, yeah. But it was nice to see them kind of come back to that and ground it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we flash forward to,
it was also nice to see, and maybe this is what you were saying, is that there's real world ramifications
for what
these people are doing.
Yeah, and I guess they kind of did that a little bit in one of the short films that came out
after. One shot.
Yeah. Where they find a weapon and they're going around with
it. Oh, yes, that was right after.
But then they become Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yeah.
And then that was kind of it.
Yeah, that was it. It was like one of those.
They stopped those, didn't they? Like, they were putting those out.
Yeah.
I guess the last one they did was with the Mandarin.
Uh-huh.
Where they kind of say that he actually was the Mandarin, like he tricked them the entire
time. Right,
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, and after Avengers, they had that thing with the waitress, the redhead. She was on Growing Pains. She was
the daughter of
Johnson. The daughter they brought in because ratings were struggling.
Yeah, she's the cousin Oliver.
She ruined
of
Growing Pains.
Not DiCaprio, but
she had lice in an episode.
Did she?
Were you a fan of
that's
growing?
All I remember.
I thought I knew a lot about stupid sitcoms, but
that was a very special episode.
You really doubled down on your Growing Pains trivia
tonight on a very special Growing Pains.
Kurt Cameron went crazy.
It's a short trip.
It is a very short trip. So yeah, so then we flash forward and we get the shaky cam of Peter Parker after we see him in Civil War for the first time.
Right.
To where they bring him to Berlin, they give him the suit. Like, it's everything that you didn't see.
Right, leading up to his appearance.
Which, you know, we jokingly said when they showed that first trailer is there's the scene of Spider-Man doing the thing from Empire where he swings around the legs, and we're just like, well, how is that even gonna work? Like, who filmed it?
Right.
Well, Peter filmed it.
Right.
Like, I was like, that's pretty genius.
Yeah.
Like, to tie all of that in and to answer those questions. So he's in high school and he's there with Not Ganke.
Yeah, that was so weird. But apparently there's somebody in the movie who is that kid. Yeah, there was somebody. I think there was somebody named that, because I remember there was a lot of controversy when that role was cast, because it was like just some white kid, and everybody's like, "Come on, like you can't get that right."
Yeah. So Ganke is Miles Morales' best friend in the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff, mm-hmm. but he looks like this kid from the movie
Ned.
Like, physically, he looked. That's the character model.
Yeah.
So when they named him Ned, I was just like, "Well,
that's why would it?"
It's very weird.
Yeah.
I mean, just I guess maybe Ganke is going to be in the animated stuff.
But why would that matter? Spider-Man's going to be in the animated stuff.
Different Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, it's like a different suit, different kid, whatever.
Yeah.
So Ned, I'm assuming he's Ned Leeds.
Spider-Man goes, it's a different suit, a different kid every four years.
Yeah.
Whatever,
so. Right. Maybe not now. This kid might be locked up for
a while. Trump wives.
Yeah.
What year is this? Yeah. Oh, we got a new one. By Marla Maples.
Yeah, he's even an immigrant.
Yeah, right. You know, you don't hear from her.
Yeah, I don't think she likes any of this.
No, probably not.
I don't think she wanted.
She's like, if you only knew.
Yeah.
Talk about tapes? I got some tapes.
I just think she, even beyond political stuff, I just think she just didn't want this level of scrutiny
probably
in her life.
Probably,
you know, I don't think she
true.
Enjoys it at all.
No,
yeah.
None whatsoever.
I, you know, back to the Berlin thing, I also like that they brought in Happy Hogan in this sort of like Mr. Belvedere role.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. I think it's awesome that, like, how Favreau, like, kind of walked away, like, I don't want to do these. I don't like how you're doing it now,
right.
And I'm out. But he didn't, like, take his ball and go home.
No, I think creatively, he was like, this just isn't for me anymore.
Right. Like,
but
but he still holds that executive producer credit.
Yeah,
so he's making
money. Oh, damn right he does.
But I think it's also great that he'll come back and play this role when, like, this dude's an A-list director.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
He just directed one of the most successful movies of last year.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And
he's got another one coming up.
And he's got another huge one coming up that'll be just as big, if not bigger.
Yeah. Zarathustra 2?
What's that?
Zarathustra 2?
I like that movie.
Yeah.
Did you see
the trailer for Jumanji?
No, I haven't.
They explain why Karen Gillan looks the way she does.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Go watch the trailer. It's very funny.
But yeah, he you know what he did was, he's just like, look, the scope of this, and after the second one, he was pretty drained because it was like really quick
turnaround. They had him turn around super fast.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't want to do that. But I'm not leaving. I'm not bad-mouthing you.
Right.
And the parent company, I'm totally not bad-mouthing because there's a whole other world to explore.
Yep. Yes.
and you
a
know,
whole new world,
a whole
if you
new
will.
World.
Oh, and talk about replacing directors,
you know. But so he, you know, he was smart. He's like, yeah, I know how it works. It's just not for me,
right?
And it's a smarter move for them because they could. They could keep bringing in directors and keeping them fresh because, like,
right.
I think we've seen that they've had two go through two movie burnout.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is Favreau and Joss Whedon.
And Joss Whedon, yeah.
Fair enough.
Right.
You know, the Russos are the only ones who seem to be.
James Gunn.
Yeah, keep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Steamrolling it.
But yeah. James Gunn is, it's like he's kind of over there just doing Guardians.
That's
like,
true.
Right. And he doesn't really, so far anyway, have to really. Radically interact with the rest of the MCU. So right. like
come next right. year,
yeah.
we'll see. We'll figure that out.
Right.
But you're right.
But up till now, like he hasn't had a lot of them tapping him on the shoulder and be like, hey, by the way, we need to cover these three plot points.
Correct. They're out in outer space and they could do their own thing.
Yeah. Right.
Like have
so he doesn't
sweet,
have
sweet Kurt Russell show up as ego.
Right. So he doesn't have to deal with that. So that's a little different. And I think the Russos, I think at that, by the time they came on, I think it's a mindset. And
yeah.
I think,
also basically showrunners at this point,
right?
Like
right,
they're using a TV model rather yeah. than a direct
model. And I think they yes. came in with that mindset. Like they didn't come in thinking they were auteurs and they were going to put their stamp on it.
Right.
Not to say that they're not, but they're doing it within a framework.
Yeah,
and I think that like they came in knowing the deal, and they were okay yeah. with that, as opposed to I'm going to do my thing. And then you're like, wait, no, you don't get to say right. that to me. It's like, this isn't the world.
The whole Han Solo debacle.
Right. Yeah, this isn't the world you're living in right. with these kind of movies.
What's funny about that is that the Russos, in turn, end up making the best of the movies.
Right.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think Civil War is probably my... So, I mean, this creeps into the top three, but Civil War is my favorite. Like, that's them. Like, that's them. That's their first go. At the MCU, and yeah. it was just like, oh, buddy.
But they didn't do
Winter Soldier.
They did Winter Soldier.
That's what I meant.
First.
Winter Soldier is the one that I'm yeah. talking about. Yeah,
but
that's my favorite.
Yeah, they brought something a little bit more visceral. And
yeah, yeah, it's a different
now,
movie altogether.
Is that is Winter Soldier for you? Is that is it better or worse than Man of Steel? Because I know how much you loved Man of Steel.
I feel like I've finally got a partner that understands my feelings for Man of Steel as well, who's sitting at this table.
I understand them. I won't fully endorse them, but I understand them.
This is the guy who says, two-thirds of a good movie.
Yeah,
right.
But it's that
Thank
third
you.
That
destroys that entire
tarnishes
thing.
Tarnishes pretty much anything you've ever loved about Superman.
Yeah. Anyway.
So back to this
back
movie.
To this one.
Yeah.
So they get the suit. They get the whole thing.
He's got Happy Hogan.
He's in. Raul Julia says hello. He's in high school, and they told us from the outset that this is going to be a John Hughes inspired superhero movie. When I hear that that's going to be a Spider-Man movie, it's just like I could see that working. And then you get to it and you're like, this works.
I think it really works.
It's one of those. It's another genre that the Marvel movies haven't touched yet. They've kind of gotten into every other genre. Why not the teen comedy slash romantic comedy a little bit?
Yeah,
like that.
It's
the characters this fit.
I just think it's so brilliant the way they keep kind of. And this is going to sound like an insult, but the way they keep telling the same story,
over and over,
totally, but through the prism of different genres, and that's keeping it fresh.
It does, and this is a little bit different than
a little bit,
but not by much.
Yeah,
gets the suit, kind of screws up, has the redemption, mm-hmm. comes back, beats the villain,
right?
Yeah,
doesn't get the girl,
but they're setting it up,
maybe.
Yeah,
they're setting it up.
We'll get into that.
Like, yeah,
I don't think that's who that is, but we'll get into that.
And even if they're not setting it up, they're setting it up. At some point, it's going to happen. And at some point,
sure. Like that's as I said on the Wonder Woman podcast. Like that relationship. If that's who she is,
right?
That relationship is you can't touch that. Like that's kind of sacred in comic books,
right?
Both of them, both girlfriends. I think so. He's
what
in
if
high
she's
school.
A clone.
No.
Wrong answer.
Oh.
If she's a clone, you know what that means?
Clone saga.
Threesome.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Threesome.
Threesome or twosome? How many?
Well, I assume she has at least one clone. she doesn't have that. That would bring two of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So threesome.
Hmm.
Well, I'm assuming Peter would take part.
Yeah.
Or you know?
Maybe he's not into that sort of thing. Maybe he just wants to watch.
He's a teenage boy.
Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I do
She'd
like
just
to say
be
that they
covered in webbing.
Yeah, right. I like that they name him. They tell you how old he is. Like, they never tell you.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I'm 15. And I was like, okay, so now we have an age range of like how old he can get and where we are in high school.
And,
right.
And he pulls it off. Tom Holland pulls it off.
Yeah. It's tough because Tobey Maguire looked like he was 30 from
And
Andrew Garfield looked like he was 35 at playing a freshman in high school.
No, you think Andrew Garfield older than Tobey Maguire?
I did. I think it's because he was so tall.
There's never tall teenagers.
Yeah. What I liked with Tobey Maguire is that they invested a lot. I mean, some of the stuff that worked in that first redo with Andrew Garfield, I should say, is the relationship between he and Emma Stone. I thought like it worked. Those were some of the highlights of that movie.
The reason I think it worked is because they were a couple.
Yes.
Like that's,
and I also like that they explored more of the science.
Yeah,
right.
He is a science nerd. Like that's, I like that a lot. And they do that in this one too.
And they knew, they're like, well, that did work. We should make sure we keep that going.
And they did.
And they did.
Yeah. And it was very good. Very well done.
So that was one thing that really stuck out to me is that, like, throughout the history of Spider-Man, everybody's always like, how does he have the money to be able to create, you know, with the chemicals to create webbing? But then you see that he's doing it on the sly in science class. I was like, oh, that is brilliant.
He's using chemistry class supplies.
Yeah. That's how you make your webbing. Like, there are a lot of those breaking touches throughout the film that I was just like, man, they definitely are getting it.
The one thing I wish they had done is given him, like, the circular wire glasses.
Like, that might have been a bridge too far.
Maybe, but I was just like, just once.
I couldn't tell. Did his his mechanism for shooting the webs, did it have a counter on it?
So when he unlocked the babysitting mode,
right?
It did.
Okay.
So like she was
it would tell him how many he had left to shoot.
Well, I think it was a percentage.
Oh, is so that what it was?
Yeah,
okay.
You have like 5% of
that much web. Okay.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's great.
Yeah.
Is that ever? I mean, and I'm so far behind.
No.
So like, I was like, what a simple, brilliant idea.
Yeah. He would swing
that. You're like, how has that never been a thing before?
Push it.
But that's all.
And then he'd run out.
That's all Stark suit.
He didn't even have like a little red tape at the end where you know, like your register receipt. Like, hey, your receipt. Register
receipt. You're out. That bad.
Like the red webbing.
I gotta switch cartridges.
There it goes.
So he's doing the friendly neighborhood thing. Like he thinks he's an Avenger because he was there with Captain America. You know, he stood with Captain America.
He had a moment.
He had a moment. And he's not.
Yeah. Like, he's on the Stark internship.
Right. Tony Stark is just like,
I mean, he keeps kind of like surreptitiously referring to his Spider-Man work as a Stark internship,
right?
Which is great, and it's a great excuse.
Yes,
but it also it kind of is.
Yeah, like he's teaching him. Like he's trying to hands off. Unfortunately, so he's doing. You know, like he sees a bike thief, and he's quipping the entire time. Like, and he does it. I think they didn't do that with Tobey Maguire. He was not very jokey.
No.
They turned it up
because it was like if Woody Allen was Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah.
He was such a nebbish.
Right.
Oh yeah.
And then they turned the quips up to 11.
Right.
With Andrew Garfield,
if Henny Youngman was Spider-Man.
Benny Hill was Spider-Man.
No, Benny
John
Hill.
Biner.
John Biner.
Where did like John Biner was Spider-Man? That's how I felt like that. Garfield. It's like,
you know what John Biner, you know who John Biner almost was?
Who?
He was
the Riddler.
He was Mork.
Oh,
they
cast
him as Mork. Oof. and he was like, it's too much. He's like, I don't know how to make this work.
Yeah.
And he walked out.
It wasn't a vehicle specifically for Robin Williams.
Oh, like, I just thought that it was.
No, so what had happened was, this was a little tangent. We do that sometimes. So Gary Marshall's producing Happy Days, right? And his daughter sees Star Wars and is like, you should do that on Happy Days. And he's drunk with power.
He was drunk. Yeah.
And he's like, I'll do that. And so I'll write an alien. And so he's like, we need an alien on Spider-Man.
On Happy Days.
And so they wrote them, and they cast John Biner, and it was just not working. And then I think he reached out to, I believe, Dom DeLuise to come in and do it.
What?
And while he was kind of deciding, like, they're filming the episode like that week, and the writer's room, there's like there's this guy down at the Comedy Store.
I was going to say, where was he hadn't done anything yet, right?
No, like, this is it. They're like, there's this guy down at the Comedy Store, and he's basically like a street comic. Like, he's just standing on street corners doing bits, and they're like, but he's unreal, and like, he would crush this. Mm-hmm. And they literally went down, and they saw him, and they're like, show up tomorrow, you're Mork on Happy Days. And he's like, okay. And he comes in and he kills it. And then they build a spinoff, and it's a whole thing. Like,
that was crazy.
It's supposed to be just a dumb one-off.
That's crazy.
And then it just took off because he was so good.
How many seasons did that get?
Mork?
Three?
I think Mork and Mindy went four, I think.
In the seven, that's a long time for even in today's standards, that's...
That's decent.
It's a good run.
Yeah, it went. I think it went four.
Huh.
Yeah.
And John Biner went to Showtime.
Did
a little show called Bizarre.
Yes. Which he was also on Soap.
Yes, that's true. It was on Soap. But I remember him from Bizarre because it was basically, there was always one skit where a girl would just take her shirt off.
Yes.
It fantastic.
Was and it was like always. Just completely arbitrary. Morgan Minnie was four seasons.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Happy Days was 11.
Well, that's true. But
I didn't need
still,
to look that up. I knew that.
You knew off the top of your head.
I'm weird.
Joni and Chachi, one.
Three, actually, I believe.
Really?
I think it was.
It was more than you think.
Yeah.
Was Laverne and Shirley was also a spinoff?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So is Happy Days the show with the most spinoffs?
No. Happy Days, I'm going to blow your mind right now, Brian.
Is it a spinoff?
Happy Days is a spinoff.
No! Oh, whoa! Yeah.
Love American Style.
That's right.
Whoa.
It was
the Cunninghams on that show?
It was called Love. It was a segment on Love American Style called Love in the Happy Days. Mm-hmm. And it was Ron Howard, and I think the actor was the guy who ended up playing, was he the guy that ended up playing Dutch on Soap? And he was the dad.
Yeah.
And it's just them in a room, him giving him advice about like dating girls and stuff.
Okay.
But he references Potsy and Fonzie and Ralph. And
is it still set like in late 50s or whatever?
Yeah. And they tried to the dirty secret of Love American Style is a lot of those segments were just unsold pilots.
Oh,
like that's like not the little vignettes, but like when you would get like a 15 or 20 minute chunk, it was just an unsold pilot.
Interesting.
Like that's all. Like it was just a way to burn off unsold pilots, and
call it an anthology.
And call it an anthology show. So they tried to sell it. Nobody wanted it. American Graffiti comes out. It's a huge hit. They said, get me American. We want an American Graffiti on television. And Gary Marshall's like, I've got this thing at the ready. I've got the kid from American Graffiti under contract. Ka-thunk.
Yep.
And they were off to the races.
How about that?
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Gary Marshall.
That's great.
Yeah. You genius, sort of.
R.I.P.
Yeah. And it ran two seasons. Sorry. Jody Love Chachi ran two seasons. But yeah, you would have thought.
More than enough.
Yeah. More than enough. No, eight is enough. Now that. Sorry.
No.
Anyway, back to Spider-Man. Back to Spider-Man.
So he's doing, you know, he's constantly calling Happy Hogan, thinking that he's missing out on something. But he's doing like, for whatever reason, there's a scene where he goes to the sandwich shop and he gets his sandwich, and the owner of the shop kind of is talking inappropriate. Well, not inappropriately, just commenting on how hot
Italian aunt,
how hot Aunt May is. And then so Peter whips right back at him with a little bit of Spanish. Uh-huh. And I was just like, God, they get it. Like they get this character. So there's a scene where he had just stopped, I don't know, something, but he's got his mask up, like up over his nose, like underneath his nose. Yeah.
He's eating his flat sandwich.
And I was just like, it's one of those scenes that I've always seen in comics.
Yeah. Have we ever seen in any of the movies him with his mask up? Partially like
no.
That.
No.
Like, what did they do when they did the upside down kiss in the first?
Yeah, but you barely see it. Like it's up over his nose.
Yeah,
like,
but this is I mean, more of him just like hanging out. Like the the nut of what Spider-Man is. Just kind of like hanging around the neighborhood, waiting for things to happen.
Wait, he said Spider-Man nuts, and you don't shake the maraca.
No, they're small.
But like that scene, as soon as that scene happens, I was like, I'm in. You've got this movie could be crap the rest of the way through. That scene of him sitting on the fire escape, eating the sandwich with his mask halfway up, I'm in. Like, that's, to me, that is, you know, the scene of Batman standing on a gargoyle, or Superman standing in front of the American flag,
or cherry Pop-Tart.
No. Easy.
What?
Easy.
Or sitting on the train.
Sitting on the train.
But she was, yeah, in a manner of speaking, she was. Yeah, you have no one to blame but yourself.
I just self-shake.
But like that.
Oh, so you have read the episode. Yeah,
you know,
self-shaking. Huh? Yeah.
But like, that scene is Spider-Man.
There were a lot of great shots like that too. There were a lot of great comic book panel shots.
Yes,
yes.
In this film, which were just like his form when he's kind of leaping off things.
Right. Like the way he moved, like I thought, and obviously Tom Holland is, I don't know, he's an athlete.
He's into parkour. He's
very, and it shows, like,
and a dancer.
Yeah. So he was Billy Elliot, right, on Broadway?
He was Billy Elliot. I don't think he's not the original
one. No.
He was Billy Elliot on Broadway. So he's the thing.
Ben Grimm was the original Billy Elliot from the Frank Fantastic Four.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the way that he moves, mm-hmm. he's not, like, I felt like you could tell the wire work with Andrew Garfield, and with this kid, like the way he bounces off walls.
There was only a couple times where I was like, that's a little much with the how far he could leap or something.
Right. But, the Garfield stuff, what they did was at least sort of have it somewhat practical.
Sure.
You know, because it after was, like that very first Raimi Spider-Man, man, the CGI is
a little painful.
Yeah. They got better, but the second one,
it is 2002,
right? So but this time it's like it's pretty, like it's never distracting.
No, correct.
You know,
yeah. So he, and the way he moves, whether he's running across a wall or he's like jumping over a fence, just the way he, it feels much more natural the way he moves. So he's coming home and. One of the best scenes of the movie is, so he lowers his window and he's crawling across the roof, you know, the ceiling, and he drops down, he takes the suit off, and then the camera pans around and there's, I almost called him Gonke, there's Ned sitting on his bed and he just drops like this brand new Death Star, Lego Death Star. And
over 3,000 pieces.
Which, and their interactions were really good. Yeah. Like I liked them together. Yeah. Obviously now Ned knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
See, that was one like small red flag, because I don't think we ever experienced any sort of spider sense.
That is true. There's no spider sense whatsoever.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's not going to be a thing, but I've always, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like it was definitely a thing in the Raimi stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being in the Garfield stuff, but.
And there were a few times that it happened here or didn't happen, and I kind of like let it pass just because he's like he is a teenage kid and he's focused on other things. Maybe. And he's not paying full attention to his abilities or whatever.
What, a teenager not pay full attention to something?
Exactly.
The hell you say?
Maybe he hasn't blossomed yet.
Maybe he hasn't gotten that yet.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that's
my
true.
My spidey sense is tingling.
Today you are a man.
Yeah. But Ned wouldn't trigger, like he's not in danger.
Right, that's,
you know,
true.
Like Ned,
but he's in danger of being exposed.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Yeah. Somebody, he doesn't know who's there, but it would trigger
something.
But it works better that he didn't.
Yes,
have it.
Yeah, it was great. So then, now for the next 5 minutes, Ned is asking questions. He was just
it was great.
You know, where does the webs come from, or where, you know, can I wear the suit? And but
does
I thought,
he lay eggs?
Does he lay eggs? And he's just like, no. Can you make? Yeah. Can you command an army of spiders? And he's just
that was great.
No.
That was so great.
He talks about stealing Captain. Hannibal Buress, in the 2 minutes he's on screen, kills it as the gym teacher.
Did you see what he did at the red carpet premiere?
No.
He sent somebody.
He sent a Hannibal Buress lookalike.
He did?
I didn't think the guy looked like him at all.
No, not at all.
I think
he's really funny.
I feel like he looked just enough like him to where if somebody was skeptical, they would be scared to ask for fear of being like, oh, we all look alike. You know what I mean? Like it's like you're like, I think this isn't really him.
I don't want to say anything
because if I'm wrong, I look really bad.
But he was really funny as the gym teacher, like showing them the Captain America video. Captain America wearing the really bad suit from Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really funny.
It was like all the, you know, the teen health
like
videos.
PSAs.
Yeah, that was great.
PSAs.
Right. Your really body's great. Going through some changes.
And great
I know.
Context, too, because, like, the only character that would really do that
was
Captain America.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a good use of a cameo that, you know, didn't feel like it was just a cheesy tacked on cameo.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know? It made sense for him for it to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was dated. Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
and it was legitimately funny.
Right. Yeah, it was dated because those, you know, school films are always like old,
right?
Right.
So
yeah.
This was old.
So it would have been, yeah. I guess it was a good quip would there be too 8 years old
from Burris, where he's like, well, you know, I think technically he's a war criminal now.
But, right. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's awesome.
I feel like that was ad libbed. Like maybe they're just like, I mean, obviously he has to know it in context,
right?
But like the way he delivered the line, it felt like it was just tacked on at the end for whatever reason. So
I like when Cap on in the video like gestures to the coach and he's on the other side of the TV.
That was nice. That was nice.
He's like, yeah, I stole his shield once, and you know,
yeah.
Ned is just head over heels,
starstruck.
His best friend is Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's like, so can we tell everybody? And he's just like, no. Can I tell everybody? No, you can't tell anybody. Okay.
You know what I like when we get to see Flash, and they did make Flash. So Flash, you
right?
Know?
Oh, they made him. So I think they made him perfectly Flash, but
well,
he doesn't.
I mean,
look
like
Flash.
What we traditionally have is like
he's not a bully. Yes. He's a douche.
He's a douche.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a douche. Truly,
right?
But
penis.
But
Parker.
He's not so completely irredeemable,
right?
You know,
sure.
He's a douche.
What else is that kid? He looked familiar, but I couldn't place him.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay, that is
boy.
Okay. I thought that's what it was. Okay,
but they didn't make him like
came out last year,
he wasn't a big dunderhead.
He wasn't Joe Manganiello.
He was a smart kid. He was on the debate team, right? The Quiz Bowl team. So.
Yeah, I mean, they did.
And I thought that was a great point too, because when Peter shows back up and wants to go on the trip, and Flash is just kind of like, no, this isn't right, but then gives up his jacket anyway. So he's not like going to fight Peter just because he loses his spot and goes back to first alternate.
It's a different Flash.
Yeah,
the Flash that I remember is the big jock,
big raging bully.
Big It was. Yeah. I mean, it was Joe Manganiello in the first in Spider-Man 2 or no Spider-Man 1.
And I feel like we've seen that story.
We
so
have,
much.
Right?
Not even just necessarily in Spider-Man, just in general,
right?
You know, I thought that I really liked all the changes they made that were maybe different from what you expect from the Spider-Man story.
Yeah,
sure.
But I thought they all like. Update it in a way that makes it more relevant and believable for,
I would agree.
Yeah. For that age bracket today.
Yes.
And I think it's caricatures too, with Zadania, there was so much like hype around her character, who she was going to be, who she was playing, but I thought she was great, so natural.
Yeah.
And like her reactions and her
and I don't even know who
retorts.
That is.
She's a I think she's a Disney actress.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, they all are now.
Very popular with a younger set.
So we'll just say this now. Her name is Michelle. They call her Michelle throughout the movie.
Well, that's
and then
that's the friend.
No, that's Zadania. There's Liz. There's Liz.
Michelle.
So Zadania plays this character called Michelle.
Michelle.
They call her Michelle throughout the entire movie, and then at the very end, she's like my friends call me MJ.
Yeah.
I don't think she's Mary Jane. I think that was just like a tip of the cap.
Michelle.
Right.
Oh, so it was sort of like a, check under my legal name, Robin.
Robin.
Or whatever.
I told that to Kevin, who was with us, and he was like, nope, she's Mary Jane. And I was like, okay, you just said her
Michelle.
Name was Mary Jane.
Right.
This is her name is Michelle. They call her Michelle.
Her name literally is not Mary Jane.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like that relationship.
Is it true her last name's Tanner?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I had to run through my TV Rolodex. I'm like, who's Michelle Tanner?
Consult your Rolodex.
Right? She's no Stephanie,
Michelle
Tanner. I think the
different show. I was always partial to Six.
I mean, you're not wrong.
From Blossom?
Yeah.
You're not Six, who grew up nicely. Like, she was on something else. I was like, she's still just as hot. Like, it's crazy. Jared Leto, by the way, on that show.
What? Jared Leto's hot?
No, he was on that show.
He was on Blossom?
Oh, no, he was on. What was he on? What was the
my
one he was on?
Life.
My So-Called Life.
Yeah.
With Claire Danes.
Take a break, Joe.
So I'm going to go back in my corner.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Probably
with all
not now.
This is going to have
So I'm thinking of the friend from My So-Called Life.
He's going to have a self shake.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you want me to hand the Morocco over?
So I think that I'm glad that they didn't include Gwen or Mary Jane,
right?
Because we've seen them so often,
right?
Yeah.
So seeing Peter interact with different people is pretty nice. And Harry or Norman Osborn.
They didn't lean on the usual bag of tricks,
right? And I think the other thing too is that if you show Mary Jane or Gwen people know what you're doing.
Sure.
Yes. Like they know, they're like, oh, we're going to see this story.
Right.
And so like, I will say that watching this movie, I was never like, okay, this is the story we're seeing.
We don't know where we're going.
I didn't know where we're going, you know? And so I think it's smart to, I don't think those characters are so crucial that they need to be in there.
I think they're crucial to the mythos, but not yet.
But not
right.
The movie.
I mean, they might pop up in later movies if we get that far, but
I don't.
What do you mean if we get that far?
Yeah, we probably will.
I also don't necessarily like this movie. Didn't leave me clamoring for that.
No. I think in Peter's story, those two women are major,
are crucial,
are very important pieces of
absolutely.
The story.
But I was happy that wasn't like what they were trying to do.
Yes,
was just to, you know,
show you the
here's
people
the
again.
Same people and the same stories. Yeah. And we're going to show Gwen Stacy. So guess what? She's going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to see the same story told better.
No. That's true. Especially now.
Yeah.
Like, give me like three or four movies in.
Sure.
And then we can.
And then you can kill her.
Then we can kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Spider-Man does kill her. I'm just putting that out.
Well, what they should do, I mean, just skip past that and get her into Spider-Gwen. Do that.
That would be.
I mean, I could see them doing, if they keep going, if that animated Spider-Man flick works and it does well, I could see them doing an animated Spider-Gwen as well. So,
because there's some popularity behind that character.
There's a lot
that
of
was not anticipated.
Huge. No, that was a massive character that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, and Peter is trying to step up his game, and there is an attack. The scene we've seen in the trailer of him at the ATM, they realize that there are these weapons out there that are not good for Brooklyn. And they keep it so centered in Brooklyn, with the exception of going to D.C.
Is it Brooklyn or Queens?
Queens.
Oh, he is in Queens. You're right. Queens. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Because Captain America's
Cap's in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Ramones.
Oh, yeah, right on. That's a good call.
Well done.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. Like, that's later on, but in the beginning, the original animated series score was a nice little flurry to open it up.
They did the, they did the Marvel Studios logo.
Yeah,
right.
The 1960s Spider-Man
also
cartoon.
By the Ramones.
And yeah, they did that, but to use it during the Marvel stinger.
Yeah, instead
so
of
you,
instead
you heard
of being
it,
like
but it wasn't grafted into the score where like which I think would have been jarring.
Yes. Was Spider-Man in that stinger?
Yeah,
it's the scene where
he lands with the. And so it's the first time you see him in Civil War.
Oh, okay.
Where he lands on top of like the carrier.
But, gotcha. But it was a good because Tom and I was like, great, they did it. It's a great nod to the fans,
yeah,
and it does not interfere with the movie.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. We got
exactly.
it. Good.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, it's the ringtone or whatever. Like, it takes you out of the movie.
Oh, it was the ringtone.
I was also glad that they...
Was that in the Amazing movies?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And I was also glad that they got the Stan Lee cameo out of the way.
That was really, really early.
Good. It was fine.
I know this is. I'm so sick of
the Stan
Lee cameos.
Yeah. Hey, like, he's old.
There. I mean, I get that. There's a finite number of them left.
Yeah. I think he's already a reminder. There was a reason why you paid a lot of bank for that photo op. So did I.
Yeah.
That's true.
We know.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking on these cameos.
I think he's filmed 8 of them already.
Yeah, he's got like knocked out a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's trying to step his game up. He's trying to make sure that Tony Stark sees him and is like, I'm ready to go.
He wants to prove his worth and he wants the run with the big dogs.
Right. And he's not there yet. And he proves it where there's a scene. So the entire time.
So that ATM scene is really when I was set off on the spider sense. Lack of spider sense. Cause I'm like, man, you're like getting hit or, you know, just not paying attention to anything.
I guess that's true. They never really say when he gets that.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of shows up in the,
But it does show kind of the fault of Happy or Tony where he's like, hey, there's something going on here that you need to pay attention to, but they kind of don't.
Well, Tony does, but then
we find out why,
but he doesn't say like that's the part. So, he gets on the. He finds out. He goes back and talks to Donald Glover after he busts him from an arms deal.
Because one thing I thought was interesting
is
that
I'm trying to get you out of here on time, Dan.
I know you are, but you're. You know when they do have the bank heist, the ATM heist.
Yeah.
You know, there's substantial collateral damage.
There is, and you can see that Peter does not want that.
Like, right.
You can see he's trying to avoid that at all costs, which is something we haven't seen. And I'm a big fan of the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
The DC movies are what they are at this point. But there's never been really any care for the... I take that back. it happens in Civil War.
Yeah.
Civil War or Winter Soldier, where Cap goes into the building.
Right.
Where, oh, yeah, where Wanda blows up the building.
It's,
yeah.
It's there, but, I mean, this is like street level.
Yes. Like, so he's going into buildings and pulling people out, as many, and he pulls out the cat, which I thought was very cute.
I think it just shows, too, like, it's not that he necessarily doesn't care about what happens damage-wise. He's just reckless, and he's not in full control.
He's
not necessarily of his powers, but just of himself.
Teenage boy.
Yeah. Right, and he's just, I mean, he's got all these...
not aware of the potential consequences of his actions.
Right. In which he kind of gets spanked, basically. Right. Like, so he figures out that there is Adrian Toomes, who is the Vulture, is making an arms deal in Washington. Now, just so happens there's
Their warehouses in Maryland.
Right. Yeah. So they know that the only way Peter can get there without being noticed is if he goes on this academic decathlon. Mm-hmm. So he goes, and this is where, so they're carrying around, Peter and Ned have like this little egg that is basically a Chitauri bomb, and they can't figure out what to do with it. So he's in the hotel room. He tries to pull the tracker out of his suit, and then Ned's just like, man, there's all kinds of stuff in here that you, I don't even know what this is.
Training wheels protocol.
Yeah, yeah. Training wheels. He's so like, great. Well, just take it off. And he was like, nah, I think that's a bad idea. He's like, nah, just do it. So he does it, and then all of a sudden the spider suit lights up.
Yeah.
And it's all of these different things.
It's kind of like Iron Man armor.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And that's a nice little throwback. So there is a run post the first Civil War comic book where Peter Parker sides with Tony Stark. He reveals his identity to the entire world, and Tony gives him a suit, and it's the Iron Spider suit, which you kind of see at the end of this movie. But it's basically the same thing.
Like, right.
It's ramped up all his abilities, plus he's got the heads up display, all this stuff.
Yeah.
He's got web combos.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of stuff.
The suit was
500
great.
Plus.
The suit was great. For a minute there, I was like, is this going to be like Joaquin Phoenix and her? Like,
Jennifer
Connelly, why not?
Yeah.
Was that who that was?
Because I was like, hey, I thought Jennifer Connelly was supposed to be in
something. She's the voice of the suit?
She's the voice in Spider-Man.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Karen. That's fitting that she is Paul Bettany's wife.
She
replaced Jarvis.
Jocasta is the Vision, like, has something to do with the Vision in the comic books. If that Tony Stark creates, right? So if this AI is in this suit and it's the voice of Jennifer Connelly, who is the real life wife of Paul Bettany, I could see them using her to be the female Vision, basically, is what Jocasta is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. There's your... I'm going to push my nerves.
Yeah, there you go.
Push my nerves up a little bit.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Well, actually...
So he's in D.C., and there's the scene that we've seen in the trailers is him on the Washington Monument. They realize that if there's any sort of radiation that touches this thing, it becomes a bomb.
That's okay. So that's what happens to it.
Yeah.
I was just wondering,
where
like,
did it touch radiation?
It's the X-ray machine.
The X-ray machine.
Oh, I thought it was a metal detector. I wasn't thinking about
it. It went through the conveyor belt. Yeah. That's right.
I was trying to figure out, like, where did the radiation go?
Yeah, so they put it through and it sets it off, and then the bomb goes off while they're at the top of the Washington Monument. And, so this is the scene we've got. I don't really need to explain this. This is the scene on the monument where
he was trapped.
Right. So he was trapped, which is another great scene of him and Karen inside this top secret damage control facility.
Where
how long has it been?
37 minutes.
What?
In a row?
Yeah.
No, they didn't say that. That would have been a nice little nod. That would have been a good line. But yeah, like, he's just trying to figure out the suit, and I like the instant kill mode where like the eyes get real small,
yeah,
and like
great
red pinpoints, and he was like, no, I didn't mean, like, don't do that. I'm interested to see if that becomes a thing.
Taser bolt or taser web.
Web grenades.
Web grenades.
All kinds of stuff.
It's like Green Arrow with his trick arrows.
Boxing glove arrow.
Right. And
it's because now they have that in the comics, too. Like, he's created different suits, so he's got different, like, webs for things like that.
For, like, after Labor Day.
After Labor Day. You can't have white webs.
Right.
What are you supposed to do?
Kentucky Derby. Spider suit.
His webbing is all mint juleps.
He saves everybody from the Washington Monument. Another really good scene. Like, the action beats are really well done.
I thought the physics were pretty strong in this, too.
Yeah.
The way that he kind of had figured out how to get around to work up enough momentum to,
right where he has to like jump off and swing down and around.
And it never felt like it was like a delivery system for action set pieces. Like they always felt
there's
natural
a reason
for them to be there.
Like it's not just like, oh, we need him to do this and we need him to be here.
So we have these three action scenes.
Right. You figure it out.
Now get from point A to B to C.
Sam Weir, you write the stuff from point A, which I thought was like John Daly. That's the golfer.
John Francis Daly.
I guess that is right. Who was Sam Weir, who also wrote that really bad Vacation movie.
And Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, man. But I think he had a hand in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too.
I think he did. He's done some good stuff, too.
Yeah. So he was he wrote this. He was one of the 24 writers on this movie.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, Guilfoyle is in this. Yeah. Martin Starr, who I'm a huge fan of. Like, he's the teacher, and he's great. Like, he's the age gap is right, too.
Yeah.
So, like, Martin Starr's he's probably our age.
Yeah.
And the kids are 15, so that was pretty funny. I Can't Lose Another Kid.
Yeah,
again.
Can't lose a kid.
Oh yeah, can't lose a kid on a field trip again.
Which I said solid. It's a nice little. He was in the Incredible Hulk. The scene where Ed Norton breaks into Liv Tyler's lab and he's the pizza delivery guy. The guy he gives the pizza to is Martin Starr. So I'm just like, oh, all right, it's a nice little callback to him. So Peter gets back. He realizes that there's going to be a deal that goes down on the Staten Island. He goes back to Donald Glover, who he had busted for an arms deal earlier, which was another really funny scene.
Yeah,
Donald Glover kills this scene.
He's like just trying to. He's like a street criminal, and he's trying to buy a handgun.
Right,
and then you try to sell him all this like crazy alien weaponry. He's like, I just
need a handgun.
Just want to steal a purse, man.
I don't like all that. We also, I mean, the Shockers in this movie. Two different versions of shockers.
Yeah,
but I was. Which was cool is that they kind of gave him the costume.
Yeah,
like the insulated
first guy.
The
color scheme is perfect,
along with like the stitching, like the diamond stitching is all there. I was like,
yeah,
that's insane. And then it's the guy from the first season of Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name, but he becomes the shocker
character actor. Yeah.
So the second interaction between Spidey and Donald Glover was pretty good. I guess apparently he's the Prowler.
I was wondering if he was supposed to be somebody bigger.
Yeah, I think his name is actually the identity of the Prowler in the comics.
I feel like they did show a picture of him in like the credits, and I was like, why did they show the Prowler?
Yeah,
that was a weird one. Okay,
but it was funny because like you know he webbed his hand to the trunk and he's like, I've got ice cream
in here. that'll dissolve in 2 hours. Yeah, what do you mean 2 hours?
You deserve that.
You're a bad guy. You deserve that. But they also he does an interrogation mode, which basically does the Batman voice, which I thought was a nice
that was
little
great.
And he's just like, I'm a boy. I'm not. He's like, I heard your voice last time. You're a chick,
a girl. Yeah.
He's like, I'm a boy, and he's yelling.
And then
at him.
He's like, I'm a man.
I'm a Spider-Man.
The next set piece I thought was great though, because it like in each of the other iterations of Spider-Man, there have been like these huge moments where Peter is like expending all of his webs.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've got to, you know, stop the train. And then I've got to, I forget what happened in the Amazing Spider-Man where he's, you know.
Oh, he's swinging off of the
construction towers.
Where apparently if you are work after hours, if you're a construction worker,
you just have free reign to do whatever
you
want.
Move the machines however you want, as long as John C. Reilly tells you to do it.
No, C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
But I was like, man, like that's so ridiculous. And like in this one, it happens again, but he fails at doing it.
You think he's made it, and then she's like, you were 98% successful. And he's like, 98%?
Yeah.
And then the whole thing starts breaking. Yeah, so he gets into a fight on the Staten Island ferry.
Yeah.
Did you notice the license plate?
No.
There's a license plate that when he's doing when he hits the guy with like the web grenade, the license plate says ASM...
And
it's the first appearance of the Vulture.
Oh, okay.
Like
that's
cool. License plate.
Oh, that's
like two or three, right? It's pretty early,
something
I think.
Like that. But it's like,
And
then it's the year. So it's the ASM, the year, and the number.
That's a decent Easter egg.
The only reason I know that's because that was in the trailer, and people were like, "Oh, there's the first appearance of the Vulture."
That's what I usually rely on other people to find all these things, and I just look at a slideshow.
Like,
that's
cool. Lazy nerds.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you guys do it? Nobody's getting paid for it, so I'm like, I'm not going to put the work into it.
So in the process of that, the Shocker and the Vulture are both on this, and they the weapon gets loose. He breaks the weapon, basically, and he tries to web it up and keep it all from exploding, but he doesn't succeed, and it splits the ferry right in half.
Well, and we also find out that this was also a massive sting operation.
Correct. Yeah, the feds show up, and he's just like, whoa, wait, what's going on? And so as the ferry is breaking apart, you think he's going to make it. Karen's giving him all the right spots. Everything you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And he's standing on top, and he's huffing and puffing, and he's just like, all right. And she's like, you were 98% successful. And he's like, what? And then everything starts breaking apart. So he's trying to keep it together. And then you see Tony Stark, like Iron Man, shows up, and he was just like, you're on a field trip, huh? And then he goes back, and he puts the ship back together and fixes everything. And this is where he gets the verbal spanking, where he's just like, you don't know
because Stark is actually there this time.
So we've seen the suit appearance earlier, but he's not. And I thought
this is a neat touch of Stark tech too, where like all the little plates come in.
And push the ship back together.
And it was two really good character beats in terms of like Peter learning that he's not as good as he thinks, and Stark realizing kind of his own mortality and second guessing his own relationship with his father. And it wasn't like too on the nose or too in your face, but it was like, he's like, oh, I guess I'm the grown up now. I have to.
This was a pretty good trope too, where like a lot of times you see like, all right, the adults are handling the situation, because Stark was like, I called the FBI, they were the ones who were handling but I didn't inform you because you're a kid and that this is an adult situation that needs to be handled by adults. But you know, Peter meddled anyway. But still, you know, everything went chaotic.
And he's just like, what if somebody had died? He was like, that's on you, like that's on your conscience, and if you die, that's on me. Like, I'm the one that brought you into this life. So it's a really good, I have a feeling this is the scene that they tested with, because they say that there was a scene that Tom Holland, he read with Robert Downey Jr. for his audition, and I feel like this is the scene that he probably read for, because
that early.
Yeah,
because they would have done. Don't you think they would have done Civil War stuff before?
You know what was weird? Oh. I read that they had him do scenes from Moonstruck, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Yes, that's
maybe
very
a different direction they could have taken it.
I thought it was Butterfly. not Butterfly.
No, and not Antichrist.
No. Breaking the Waves.
What was the one that you saw instead of Conan?
Oh God! Death Trap.
Death Trap.
What was Death Trap? This is back in the not Conan, Michael with Jason
Kane
Momoa. Okay.
Michael
Caine
and
Alfred and Superman make out.
I thought like
they were on to us.
That's
two for Death Trap, please. Definitely Death Trap. Totally not Conan. I don't even know what a Conan is. Death Trap. That's the movie I want to see.
In retrospect, it's some weird slash fiction.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
The trailers kind of give the indication that it's going to be like Peter and Tony for a lot of the movie. A lot more Tony than you really kind of want in your Spider-Man movie. But it ultimately ended up being the right amount.
I feel like he's only in it 10 minutes tops.
He needs to be.
And Robert Downey Jr. was like, I'm going to be on vacation in India. Can you just do my setup there one time? Is that okay?
Fine, right? I'm not making $15 million for this movie. So he basically says, he's like, you're done. You're benched. Give me the suit. And he's just like, I'm nothing without it. It's a scene from the trailers. I'm nothing without this suit.
And that's a pretty good line. I mean, that's almost like the new version of
with great power.
Yeah.
And I did say, I was like, I appreciate that. That's not in the movie at all.
Right.
Yeah. Like they get that. They get those beats without having to say that line over and over.
They don't spoon feed
exactly
anything to you.
No. Really. Yeah. Cliff Robertson kind of shaking in that old sedan.
Oh.
No.
Peter Parkinson's.
No. Oh, yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Wow.
Who was
you? He's an Academy Award winning actor.
And it wasn't even dirty.
No, it's not dirty.
That's cruel.
Or Martin Sheen. It was Martin Sheen, right?
Martin Sheen. Right. Yeah. Martin Sheen and Marissa Tomei. Oh, yeah. Sally.
Yes. Marissa Tomei's in this one. Yeah, so he takes the suit away, and he said, if you're nothing without that suit, you shouldn't have it. Like, you don't need it. And this is where Pete kind of goes back to his roots. So he gets back into school. Mm-hmm. There's a nice little nod for Captain America, where the principal of the school, if you look...
Oh, that's right. It's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
I kept trying to figure that out. Yeah. I'm like, so his what is the significance?
His grandfather was a Howling Commando.
That's right. Yeah.
And you see his picture
Stephen
up on the...
Choi? Is that...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that's right and not completely racist.
Yeah.
No, I think that because he was also on Last Man Standing. He did a brief run on Last Man Standing that was really good.
But we see the principal. And I mean, it's right up there, you know, because I'm like, well, I mean, they have a face towards the camera.
Yeah, right.
It's
and that's what I cannot believe I didn't put it together because I was what is the significance here?
I guess it would have been his grandfather.
Grandfather was a Howling Commando.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
really cool.
So he peters in detention with, and Zendaya, Michelle keeps showing up where Peter is.
Yeah.
And she plays it off. He's just like Hannibal Buress is like, why are you here? And she's just like, I just like drawing pictures of people in
distress.
And she turns it around. It's like a picture of Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
But like she keeps showing up around Peter. Mm-hmm. So Peter kind of, he goes back to his roots. Like he's talking to Ned again and he's, you know, trying to salvage that really or fix that friendship. Mm-hmm. He let Liz down at the, So Liz Allen is also a character from the books.
What, she'd be married to the Molten Man, right?
Well, she married the Hobgoblin. She married Harry Osborn.
But I think she was also, wasn't she also with?
She's got a terrible track record. Yeah. That's the case.
But I mean, that's just like the soap opera. Like, that's how soap operas work.
So I think she was also Firestar, wasn't she? Wasn't she on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends with Iceman?
I'll book the time on this one.
I talked, the guy who makes the weapons, like, that's the Tinkerer, right?
No, it can't be, can it?
Why?
Isn't that a... I guess it could be.
Yeah.
And this... Yeah,
he's not the playing the master.
Right.
But yeah, he could be the Tinker. I think that's who that
I
was.
I thought that was more of a Fantastic Four villain. Yeah. That's to me what it would have been. I mean, they never named that guy, right?
We saw Betty Brandt.
We did see Betty Brandt, which I was just like...
that was great.
and it was like, you know, again, it was one of those things where it wasn't like just an overly cute,
and she's
awkward.
A reporter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was perfect.
I pushed my nerd glasses up. I was like, can you just give her black hair?
No,
like, I'm not asking for much.
It was
also played by Elizabeth Banks played her in the Raimi stuff.
It was funny because it was like a kind of a quasi melding of Gwen Stacy.
She looked like Gwen Stacy
and Betty Brandt character.
Yeah, she definitely looked like Gwen Stacy a lot. So he's just kind of going back to his roots, and he's back in high school, and he's in trouble, and he's apologizing. And
he's asked Liz to homecoming
and
it was great too, like his posturing the whole time where he's like can't even look at her.
Yeah. Like he's like, I've only seen that kid and then Civil War, and he's in a mask the entire time. So the way he delivers, he's definitely shorter than most people on screen, and he plays it that way. Like he doesn't play himself as like a big character.
Right.
You could feel him get bigger as Spider-Man, but when he's Peter Parker, he's the mousy Peter Parker.
Yeah, the angles worked.
Yeah.
Worked great here.
So he's going to go to homecoming and everything's going great. And he fixes it. Like Aunt May kind of calls him out. She's like, I know you're sneaking out. I know you weren't in your hotel room. I know you weren't there. She's like, you can't.
It's funny
do
how
this.
She just let it go too. Like as soon as like, I lost the Stark internship, and she's like, oh,
well also like, I think as much as she's in pain, like, right. She's, we will say she's been in mourning for a year.
I guess I'm assuming that's what they,
you know, and
I mean they could retcon that line to mean anything, but
sure,
I think at this point we kind of have to assume that.
So he's in mourning for the loss of his pseudo father.
Yeah, his father
figure.
So
like I could see like maybe a little bit of rebellious nature, and then him just being like, look, I lost this big thing, and her just being like, get your I'm not gonna cuss, get your stuff together.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and we'll move forward. So that he's gonna take Michelle Liz to the prom.
Homecoming.
They're all dances. It's all the same.
we're getting into Joe's fan.
You go to a lot of dances.
I went to all the dances, and I had dates for them all too.
If you say so.
Like dates, prunes, raisins.
Right. Yeah, he's very health conscious.
I wanted to make sure my fiber and colon was okay.
Yeah.
So you did have dates.
Why did
you need your colon
because
to be
you never
okay.
know. You never know.
Okay.
Sometimes things get weird.
When he got done with prom, it was a semicolon. Here, come put your semi on his colon.
Sit right there. What are you doing?
I don't even
stop him.
I'm trying to stop thinking about it.
Just acknowledge it.
Yeah, I was just trying to move past it.
when Peter arrived at Liz's house to pick her up, like I turned to my friend, I'm like, is the Vulture
Tom
going
was about
to be
ready
her
to go
dad.
Pee, and then he realized he got to this part.
This was a great scene.
And the
crowd audibly gasped.
Yes, you were, so right. The real spoilers
and
crew.
And at first I was like, oh, come on, don't. But then like as the scene played out, I was like, oh, man, this is a fantastic dynamic.
Yes.
This is really working well.
So I'm assuming she's not Liz Allen. Unless they change her name.
I was thinking they're going to change their name to get away from
Tombs.
From
which is good. Like Liz Allen is again.
So with this trial, is Spider-Man Homecoming basically a prequel to Riverdale on the CW?
I don't know.
Trying to figure that out still.
Matt Murdock is the lawyer for Adrian Till.
Yeah. Archie will do crossovers with anybody.
Archie doesn't care. Archie don't care.
Yeah. But yeah, that moment where like everything's great. They got the montage. The 80s music's playing.
Bing bong.
You know, and he rings the doorbell.
Audibly. And like, so we were, the real spoilers crew, with the exception of Brian, because he had to go sit with them in his seats.
It was so crazy packed in there.
It was.
If
it
I
was.
Didn't sit in those seats, there would be chaos.
Yeah, that's true. Like, we're all sitting in a row, and the people, like, at least the people in front of us and the people right in front of them audibly gasped when the door opens and it's Michael Keaton, it's Adrian Toomes, is Liz's dad.
Yeah, and he's not holding them hostage.
Nope. He's just,
you know,
he's
they
in
didn't go that
he
route.
Didn't know.
He's in dad mode.
Yeah,
he's the dad.
Like, at that point, he didn't know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
Yeah. Right.
Which was great. Because, okay. I think it's sort of a similar thing to the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire, where
Norman
Willem
doesn't
Dafoe
know right away.
Knows,
yeah.
And then, you know, it's that
yeah,
sort
but
of
Willem
confrontation.
Dafoe immediately went into, like, villain mode.
Yeah, right.
Willem Dafoe was, like, super cool. And then he got a snort of that gas.
Yeah.
And then he went crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I
wonder.
The way Keaton played this role.
He could have been Norman Osborn.
He did it. He also does a good job of you kind of
sympathize with him.
Yeah.
I liked his motivation. He got screwed out of a government contract. He thought, I'm going to set up my family. This isn't a guy that's been a bad guy his entire life.
No.
Like, situations have turned him bad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he gets kind of, he thinks he's got this great government gig, and it gets yanked out from under him. So he's got motivation to just hate superheroes in general.
Especially the one that keeps mucking up.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
And then I also like that, like, you know, when he kills a guy, it's on accident.
Yes.
Well, like, that was a great scene.
Yeah.
Because
like,
I thought this was the anti-gravity.
The guy's
like, no, that's over there.
Yeah. The guy's going to rat him out. And he's like, he pulls up an alien weapon and points it at him. And he's like, then you can't leave. And he hits the button and it disintegrates him.
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought that was the, you know, and
he
so
does. He stops and he's like, I thought that was the anti-grav gun.
So he's not a guy that ever really gets drunk with power.
And I think that was a great scene too, because it shows that he's in control of his emotions.
Right.
So when he discovers that Peter is Spider-Man, he doesn't flip out and go ballistic in front of his daughter's homecoming dance.
He still has a moral compass. That scene in the car.
Right.
Ooh, buddy.
Like, if this wasn't a superhero movie, that would be an Oscar clip scene.
Oh, yep.
That scene in the car, as one, when he non-verbally, you realize
he figures it out.
He's figuring out that's Spider-Man.
Yep.
It's all in his face. There's not one ounce of dialogue coming out of Michael Keaton's mouth. And he's just connecting the dots.
Right.
And then when she gets out of the car and
he's like,
he,
we're gonna do the dad talk
and
real
he
quick.
Gives the speech,
which was a great, I mean, like, there's so many, like, when they're still in the house and Peter knows, obviously, and he's having a meltdown, but the way that it plays, because it's, you know, boy picking up girl for dance,
he just looks
like
he's
awkward
nervous.
Mm-hmm. It was so well done.
Michael Keaton is so menacing in this scene. I mean, in that moment, he honestly might have been the most frightening villain that in this entire franchise.
Most evil. It's tough because, like, Loki isn't terrifying.
Right.
He's snarky and swarmy.
Yeah, megalomaniac.
Right, you know? But he actually was menacing.
The only one that came close was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Right? Yeah.
And that was on the Netflix stuff. Oh, like, his kingpin is top notch.
But Keaton's motivations are grounded in a reality that everybody can empathize with.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. And he even says, he's like, the reason you're walking out of this car right now is because you saved her life.
And that's why he's still kind of likable, right?
Right.
Because he's got a moral compass. He's saying, like, look, like, you get out of my business and I'll stay out of yours. You save my daughter and I have respect for that, because ultimately that's my concern and my family. All of this was only ever about my family.
And she was just like, and he's just like, okay.
Yeah. And it's like, and I get why he doesn't, and he kind of feels like he can't, but it's like, I just thought that was such,
it's a really good scene.
Such well a done. Great scene.
The only weak part to this scene is the fact that for whatever reason, Peter's cell phone is still in the car.
I think he did that on purpose. There.
Did he?
I took that as a plot. Like that was
just like a plot contrivance where it's like, oh yeah, my phone can be
in the
car.
Because as soon as he got in touch with Ned, he's like, track my phone.
I took that as he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, I thought that was even better.
Which I think that's some of the things that the other five movies forgot about. Is Peter Parker
they
is
forgot about Dre.
Smart. forget about Dre.
You
never forget about Dre.
No.
That's the problem. But they never acknowledge that Peter Parker is one of the top, like in the comic books, he's one of the smartest guys in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. He's like top five. So
because he's actually one of the weakest heroes, right?
I mean, he has like
a physicality standpoint.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like he's definitely,
it's his smarts that
keeps him at the, you know, the, on the Avengers.
And it seems like Batman is going back to that too. It's going to be more noir detective.
If you tell me that
we'll
good,
see.
Yeah.
As Dan said, we've been hearing that since 1989.
Yes. I don't know. Dark Knight was a detective movie.
A little bit, like futuristic.
Yes, it was a crime movie.
That's fair.
It was a crime movie.
That's true. So Peter gets to the dance and he's having a crisis of faith where he's just like, I can't leave them out there. I can't, because he knows that there's, so Stark is clearing out Avengers Tower and they know that they've been working on an anti-grav thing and the flight is taking off in the next 10 minutes or whatever. So Peter knows that he's got to, with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. Like, I'm the only one that can stop it. Nobody else is listening to me. I do like that he kept his old suit in the school.
Yeah.
So, like, he lifts up a bank of lockers and pulls out some web fluid and he pulls out the old suit. And he goes, like, he starts going. He gets attacked by the new Shocker.
And he ends up standing Liz up at the dance.
He does.
And I like this, too, because, like, that was always kind of in the great Spider-Man stories. That's what would happen, right? He would have to screw up his personal life.
Right.
Yeah.
In order to do something
for the greater good.
For the greater good that nobody would ever know about. And the way they all kind of meet around this girl, her dad, him as a villain, like, all those points converge.
It's masterfully put together.
That could have felt really forced, and it didn't feel forced at all.
No, yeah. I agree completely.
And Ned gets to be the guy in
and you
the
should
chair.
Because I'm right.
You are right.
He's the guy in the chair.
He is the guy in the chair. Yeah. Which I thought was like, how'd you be the guy in the chair? He's like, the guy in the chair. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you where to go. And so Ned is the guy in the chair where he's calling Happy Hogan. He's tracking the phone. He's tracking.
And I love that he's in the school library. He's got all these computers because he's in the school library. Yeah,
He's just rolling from side to side.
Yeah.
And that was great too with Happy, because it's just like now there's another kid who's trying to get in touch with me.
And he just tells him, he just hangs up on him.
Yeah,
he's like, "How'd the Happy thing go?" He's like, "I don't think he liked me very much." So Pete gets attacked right outside by
Shocker.
The Shocker, and that's a good fight. Like that looked good. The CGI was good.
Yeah.
And he wins, like he webs the, you know, he beats the Shocker.
Well, it was Ned.
Oh, that's right, it was Ned.
Ned came Ned hits, off at the, hits him right with at the
with
last
the old
second.
Web shooters,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Pete takes care of the rest. Pete goes and he realizes he's got to get to Stark Towers, basically, and he can't get there in time. The one scene that we forgot to talk about is the golf course scene, which was the biggest laugh for me, thankfully. We've always jokingly said, well, how the hell, what happens when he goes into a park? Like, what if there's nothing attached
especially
to?
Especially kind of like Civil War when
he's on like
the open airport. Right.
What's he swinging on?
Yeah, we see him in the suburbs. It's hard to be Spider-Man in the suburbs.
Yeah, so he gets to a golf course and he goes to shoot and there's nothing around. So he's got to run across the, like, it is definitely Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which reference.
I thought was great, too, because it's like, you see this is happening, and you're like, oh, okay, of course. But then it's on a TV, even better. Even better.
So smart. So he steals Ned's car.
Flash's car.
He's just like, get out of the car. He's like, it's my dad's car. He's like, I don't care. Like, get out of the car. Does he say that he's friends with Peter?
No.
He just,
I don't think so.
He just kicks him out of the car. So he take and he can't.
No, he doesn't, because he just, well, he does that earlier when he saves him at the White. He's like, "Is it true you're friends with Peter Parker?"
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
He asked that, but I don't think he ever responds.
He doesn't respond. Yeah. So he steals the car and he can't figure out how
can't
to.
Drive.
He's not driving it very well. So Ned is hacking the car from the school library. Finally, he gets to the hangar and
he's not even hacking the car. He's just like trying to
turn
the lights on.
He's telling
the lights on. He looked at the manual. He's like, "There's a knob on a stick on the left hand side."
Oh, he's like, "Yeah, okay."
Of course, it was an Audi.
So he gets to the hangar.
He grew up in Queens. Why would he know how to drive?
That's true. That's a good point.
And he's 15.
He's also 15. Yeah. He's like, I've driven a little bit.
Parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all he's done.
And then I also like where the principal or well, the teacher walks in and she's like, "There's a dance going on. What are you doing?" And he's just like,
"Oh, Ned."
Looking at
porn.
And like quickly closes the laptop. I thought that was
funny. Good.
It's an excuse she'll believe.
That's also true. Right, yeah. Right. She's like,
as
okay.
As the parent of a teenager, it's an excuse I'll believe.
So Pete gets to the hangar where he thinks that everything is going down. You can see from the get that like the old wings have been dismantled. So like the propellers or whatever in the wings are gone.
Right.
He has another great scene with Michael Keaton where Keaton's down there. He's just like, man, like I was hoping you'd take option A. And
right.
We're here now. And he gets beat.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, "Oh, your wings are like you didn't even touch me." He's like, "I wasn't trying to touch you."
Oh, yeah.
And then
that
the whole
great.
Thing collapses on him. And this is Brian. I kind of talked about this just now where I wish like that's a scene. From, that's an iconic. That is an iconic
top
cover,
five. Yeah.
With him being covered in rubble and the water all around him. I wish they would have panned out a little bit to give you a scope of like. Where
just
he
how,
was
just how
yeah
badly
but he delivers a killer scene where he's yelling like
yeah.
he you know you feel that he's in trouble he takes the mask off and he's looking at himself in the water and he finally gives him the you know hearts on fire speech and he pushes the rubble off of him and he goes after he gets to the Avengers Tower and he's fighting the Vulture on top of this airplane.
I almost thought that there was going to be an Uncle Ben moment when he was under the rubble and he was looking in the water and he saw his mask and part of his face. I almost thought that we were going to get some unknown great cameo where Uncle Ben comes up.
Yeah, they, gives him the pep talk.
But it, I mean, I'm glad they didn't go that route.
Like
yeah,
that. No.
Yeah, no, I'm glad it didn't work out that way.
Yeah. So there's a big fight on top of the...
I thought the Uncle Ben motivation was going
to... say something about rice.
No. Okay. I thought the Uncle Ben motivation was going to be when the deli got destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I thought that's what they were going to do.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because there was definitely collateral damage.
He clearly goes in that store all the time. He likes the dude.
Right.
Like, and he was.
They could have even done like a flashback where Ben and Peter go in there and and shoplift.
No,
and,
they don't do that. They don't do that.
Isn't that what they would do with Ben now? Like he's got like if they did this with Jonathan Kent in Man of Steel.
Oh, yeah.
This is what they do with with Ben Parker.
Ben would be a complete. Dick.
Yeah, right.
He'd have a ponytail.
Like cuts a dude.
Yeah.
He did in Ultimate Spider-Man.
I know. He did have a ponytail. So, there's a big fight on top of the airplane with all the gear in it. And I did like that they drop that the tomb or Michael Keaton drops into the airplane. And I thought you'd get like some Easter eggs in there. Like they say what's on the airplane where it's like Cap's new shield and Thor's belt so we can't say the name.
Yeah, right. Can't say the name right. That was great.
One of the original heist or
not
hijacking they did with the big rig, it looked like there was maybe a tentacle, like a Dr. Octopus tentacle in one of those.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, this was I mentioned to Tom, this movie does a lot as far as propelling sort of the outside, the Avengers forward a little bit. So we're not going to have to, like a new shield.
Here's the thing. Why would he have a new shield?
Well, I think at this point,
didn't he leave it?
He broke it.
I don't think Tony's going to be like, yes,
but
you're
I think
a war
at this
criminal.
Point, remember, at this point, he had received the letter from Cap.
Right. Oh, that's true. So, if you need
so reparations are starting to happen within they're a little fractured group. But we see that, and I like that it touches on that stuff, so we won't really have to have more explanation later.
As to why they're back together?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Like, so, it makes steps to, like, sort of, like, connect those dots.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Which I feel like there hasn't been a lot of, and I guess maybe they're going to try to cram a lot in Thor, Ragnarok.
Yeah. Because,
like, there hasn't been, I mean, there have been, like, one or two cameos of Thanos in other films, and it's like we've been waiting, basically, since 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
for Thanos to show up. Was it 2012 or 2022?
No, 2012 is when we... 2012 is
was
the
that
Avengers.
Avengers?
Yeah, okay. That's where we see him.
So
right? Where he, yeah, because so, he's the one that sends
yeah,
the,
yeah lots
sends
of little seeds.
Right. Yeah, I think Thor Ragnarok's going to be the one. It has to be the one. Like, that's
the only
that's
thing
the last
between,
one.
Yeah.
That's the last one they've got left, so they have to do something.
Oh, no, well, Black Panther, I
Black
think,
Panther.
Is... February,
we'll
is that
do.
Right?
Oh. Oh, that's true.
But I guess it depends on how much they want to tie that all in.
I feel like that. I mean, from the trailer, that initial teaser, it feels like that's in a world by itself.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Which
is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked
awesome
incredible.
World.
Oh, buddy. That looked good.
But so he's
yeah,
on
big
the...
Fight, big fight.
He's on another, like, self-driving vehicle, you know. It's
right,
the
yeah,
jet.
Sure, sure.
It's like, well, it's Stark Tech. You don't
yeah,
really need
anybody
pilots,
in there. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so we see like a box full of arc reactors, or we see a box full of the little bombs, and we see suits, like suits of armor all in there. And then so Pete kind of like, since he has this homemade suit, he doesn't have the stability that he would have with that Stark suit. So he's constantly trying to like
stability grip.
Yeah,
you know, anything
and nothing. So he kind of like knocks this sealant, like these wings are used to seal the hole so that
when the Vulture lands on it, he's got a
like that was pretty clever too. It's like executive decision,
yeah,
almost
yeah.
taking place there, where he creates that seal and
what
opens
great,
up that
Kurt, yeah. great Kurt Russell movie.
Yeah, not so much a good Steven Seagal
no,
movie.
Yeah. Actually, it's a great
I'll
Steven
see
Seagal
you later.
Movie.
Well, it is, but it's one of those movies where people who went to see Steven Seagal were like, "What?"
15 minutes later, they're
Wait
walking out.
They're like, "Man, that Kurt Russell."
It was like a nebbish role for Kurt Russell.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he turns though? Right?
I got a flight. What?
He kind of
like more of a he steps
yeah.
up, but
yeah.
Because what do you expect?
He's like, oh, Kurt let's hack this airplane, guys. Let's get up there.
Yeah, that's because they had Seagal.
Yeah,
it was a head fake. They had a head fake to make everybody think it was a Steven Seagal Kurt Russell movie, and then no, it's not.
It's Oliver Platt.
Yeah. That's the guy that got Steven Seagal's like, you can afford me for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then
and that's
call
also
flat.
About the length of the window where he could make that demand.
Yeah, right. Yes.
I have a 10 minute deal here.
Yeah.
You gotta hurry.
So they end up crashing the plane away from, like, close to an amusement park, but on
no,
the beach.
Like, well, no, cut through whatever that...
They clip something.
Was that Coney Island?
Oh, I guess
that's
kind of
what
Coney
I thought.
Island.
It was Coney
Island.
Because they show the cyclone. That's Coney Island.
Yeah.
That's the roller coaster that Alvy Singer's house is under in Annie Hall.
Yeah. So
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was Woody Allen as
Spider-Man. It was Woody Allen as Spider-Man.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's able to sort of like use the flaps.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets it out of the way of the city.
You know.
If this is a Man of Steel movie, he just crashed it. He didn't even care.
Yeah.
Just right.
Nobody
would be there. So they have a knockdown drag-out fight there in the sand. And I'm trying
not
to
even really knock down drag out. He was like, Vulture's just like, get out of here, kid. Yeah. And he's like, see ya. And he's like, oh no.
That is true. I didn't think about that. Yeah, he has like a
he's like Timothy Dalton at the end of Rocketeer.
What a great reference. That's pretty good. I do forget to like,
Zavala
he just
pu-
he pulls the
he pulls the
he pulls
gum away
the gum off. That's the only thing that keeps that kept that pack from exploding.
Hey, be careful. Didn't want to gum up the works.
Boom. Yeah, so then he the pack explodes, and Pete, again, like in typical Spider-Man fashion, doesn't want anybody to die. So he goes into the flames, into the airplane, and pulls the Vulture out.
We see something we don't normally see in movies. The villain
survives.
Yeah.
And gets put
right.
in jail.
Yes.
Like that's,
and the hero even saves him. Normally it's like the hero saves him and the villain does one last evil thing and then he has to kind of let him die.
Right.
It's like, it was nice to
he was a hero.
You're right.
Like through and through he was a hero.
Although I felt like, and I told Tom, I was like, I felt like it was shot in a way where they maybe
they
shot
done
it a couple
either
different
way.
Ways.
Oh,
yeah.
Because he is standing there, like he sees the explosion and he's off to the side.
Like,
and then he runs in and grabs him.
I think they opted to... I mean, they made the right call. They kept him alive because it was refreshing to be like,
oh,
cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I did like the Mac Gargan reference.
Mm-hmm.
Scorpion.
The Scorpion was there. Like that's,
it was a nice touch, too. Like, he webbed up all of the crates. Made sure, like, gathered all the arc reactors.
Yeah, it was a classic Spider-Man move. Yeah. Like, everything was webbed together, and they had a handwritten note.
I caught the old Vulture guy.
Flying Vulture guy.
Yeah, right. You know, signed Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So... he's back in school and everything, you know, Liz is there and he kind of says, look, I'm really sorry. And she's like, about what do you say that a lot? What are you sorry for this time? And he was just like, all of it.
Your dad.
Your dad, homecoming, blah, blah. So she kind of says, like, my mom's moving us up to Connecticut and
Oregon. Which is almost like Connecticut.
Pretty much the same. Yeah, just up the coast.
Yeah. That's a little bit longer commute. Yeah. But other than that,
it's fine. Yeah, no big deal. Nobody cares.
It's just up the coast.
Where does this Connecticut
the other
come
coast?
From?
I don't know. I just don't think that was
the coast of Canada.
Yeah. Just up the coast.
This is why that asshole that sent us that tweet is just like, oh, you stammer through your...
Yeah, well, I did. Well, look at the comedy gold that we just spun out of that mistake.
Yeah.
Who's not here tonight? Kevin?
Kevin. Mm. Yeah, it's interesting.
Typing up some missives.
Some mean tweets. Yeah, so he kind of says, like, I'm sorry. And she's like, my dad doesn't want us here for the trial, so that we're going to move. Not to Connecticut.
No. That's Oregon's state slogan.
Is that not Connecticut?
Not Connecticut.
And then he goes home. Like, I'm trying. Is that how it ends? Is that
no?
Because he goes to Stark, and
well, Happy Hogan's
like, show coming to the bathroom. Me being the bathroom.
Oh yeah, in the bathroom.
Which I thought
classic.
That scene was great.
Yeah.
Like,
that
it was
chess
really,
kid shows back up
where he's washed his hands forever.
Yeah. He's with his he's with the decathlon team. And
right,
now,
right.
Is how we find out MJ
and Zadiah. She's the new captain. Right,
and he gets the text,
and then so he goes to the bathroom, and there's
It was great of that kid though when he's washing his hands because his eyes are still kind of shifting back and forth.
He's looking at the two of them.
What's happening?
So he kind of says, like, look,
but
kid.
Another good joke too, because he's like, is Tony in the bathroom?
Yeah, he's in the, is he in there right now? He's like, no.
Yeah, why would
he's upstate? Yeah. So that we go and see the new Avengers.
I'd like to see that movie though, because like from New York City to wherever the new facility is, it's like not 10 minutes. I mean, there's like
another,
they're
building the facility at the end of,
well, I know, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, the drive from one to the other.
Oh, sure.
That's like a nice little, you know, swinger style 90 minute movie between Happy Hogan and Peter. Why not?
But it's the extra, it's the added feature on the Blu-ray.
Right,
that's what it'll be.
Exactly.
It'd be made. It'd be more like made.
Right, that's true.
As long as he's not as annoying as Vince Vaughn in that movie.
Yeah.
Buddy.
I know.
Man. So he shows up and...
But this is a great, another little, like, comic Civil War moment where they're going to... Mm-hmm. Either in the costume or not. I mean, he's only 15, so he's going to put him in the costume.
Yeah.
And so, introduce Spider-Man as a member of the Avengers.
Right. And that was the thing. That was right out of Civil War, so that the... Tony Stark has a press conference.
Right.
And he takes his mask off in front of everybody, and Jameson has a heart attack. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He's been here the whole time. J. Jonah Jameson. I wish.
Who? Yeah.
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons,
like,
shows up.
You will never. Top that casting. No.
They didn't even do it in.
They referenced him, maybe.
Okay.
But they never. I feel like he could probably show back up in this. Like,
but
I feel like that's one
he's
of those.
James Gordon now.
Okay.
Weird.
Yeah. I'm fine with that too. Like, it should have been Bryan Cranston.
Yeah,
but whatever. Tony Stark's giving him the pat on the back. He's like, you did great, we're proud of you. And he opens this, he's, you know, the cylinder slides open, and there's the new ding,
yeah,
the new spider suit,
Iron
which
Spider.
Is the Iron Spider suit,
yeah,
basically
a new toy for you to buy.
I mean, the color scheme is definitely still like the original Spider-Man,
right,
whatever,
right,
but, and
but
a little like a sort of Venom influence, Spidey 2099 influence.
I felt like, are they laying the groundwork for Venom with they were talking so much of the technology was alien.
Kevin Feige said he's not part of this.
Yeah, but Venom is,
Spider-Man is not. Spider-Man is not going to be in the film.
Right. Venom is not part of the MCU.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm.
And Amy Pascal, like, so there's that press conference where she's just like, oh, they're going to be all tied together. And the look on Feige's face is just like,
no.
You could see him being like,
yeah.
Not us. That we're not touching.
Yeah, he looks
that.
Like he's like trying not to acknowledge a fart. At that press conference, he's like, ooh.
Yeah.
But like, how many times out of the gate does Sony get not tied to MCU before they're like, we
don't know
why
we're
did
doing.
We even bother.
Yeah, well,
like, not that they wouldn't be good movies, but like,
we'll
ultimately, yeah,
they'll find out with this movie, because this movie does is, well, I mean, if I walked out of this movie like, man, now they really have their work cut out for them,
because
they
Sony?
Have to decide what they need to, what they're gonna do.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's difficult for both sides, because for MCU, it's like, well, if we lose Spider-Man after three films, like if they did Infinity Gauntlet and then they lose him.
Let's think about who they, because we also see, you know, with the press conference, which they play off like, oh, it was a test, but then it actually was a press conference.
Yeah, right.
Pepper's
back.
Her
but
one
that's
day
another little
or
thing where it's like, okay,
she was gone in the last one.
Yeah. So they've patched that relationship up. We don't have to have the patching relationship montage
right
in the new Avengers movie. It's like, we don't need that.
Right.
It's like,
Now they're getting engaged.
And like, potentially, sure.
But
I thought it was very strange because it's like she hasn't been around.
Right.
Like,
since
it's
Iron
so
Man 3.
Noticeable that she hasn't been around.
She was in Iron Man 3 was the last
time
we saw her.
But then they seem to have, in the context of this movie, they are
back together. Post Civil War, maybe he's, sort of reassessed things.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, so there's, four MCU characters though.
Yep.
Because we got Happy, Stark,
Cap,
and Pepper.
Right.
It's like, wow. I mean, it's an MCU movie.
Chris Evans is only.
No, he's locked up.
After.
He just signed
Infinity.
Yeah, just signed a new deal.
He signed a massive deal.
Yeah.
That he's locked up for.
I thought it was still only past this next set of events.
I think he's figuring out a way to allow him to still do other things.
He's going to be the new Nick Fury.
Yeah.
He'll show up or whatever. They might give him his own movie just to get it. I think what they're going to do,
that could be a fun espionage movie.
Yeah. Sebastian Stan is going to take over.
Or
he's going to be Cap. Or
Anthony Mackie.
Or both.
The Capcom.
And then he'll be like the
Capcom.
And then he'll be like the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
He'll be the guy in the chair. So yeah. So then
the guy in the chair in the sky.
The guy in the chair in the sky.
God.
Chris Evans
George
as God.
Yeah, yeah. George Burns. Chris Evans as George Burns as God.
So yeah. So then he kind of
say goodnight, Falcon.
Just like goodnight, Falcon.
He decides he's not gonna.
He says, you know what, this isn't for me. I gotta keep my feet on the ground. And he's just like, that was a test, right? And he's like, yeah, totally. And he's like, do you have the ring? And Hogan's like, I've been holding on to this thing since 2008. And so yeah, they jokingly, you think that he's gonna propose in front of the press conference. And then we go back and he's at home and there's a paper bag on his bed that says, this is you deserve this or whatever.
And that was there was a little bit of time between that too, because I think he kind of went back to normal life for a little bit, right?
Probably, yeah.
It wasn't in the time that Happy and Peter drove up.
Yeah.
Somebody else, like, or a drone came and dropped off the.
Yeah.
Right.
There was an Amazon logo on it. So
so he puts on the suit and he's got his back. Again, where's the spider sense when you need it?
Yeah.
So he's got his back
biggest
to
laugh
the door.
The movie.
Well, it's funny, too, because I was thinking about this, too, because, he is, he's proud in the costume.
Yeah.
And when he turns, he's looking at the open door. And then he is turned towards the window and then he takes off his mask.
Right.
It's like you just saw that your door was open.
Yeah,
you know that you're not home alone.
And then obviously there's Marissa Tomei and she says, "What the f-?"
And it's a great laugh line.
Perfect ending.
Yeah.
And May does know that Peter is. I mean, and he could play it off as like it's cosplay. Like that's the way they could go.
Do you like my new pajama?
Or they could own
it. Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure
she's not.
I think at that point because she knows he's got a Stark internship. I mean,
right.
I don't.
It's all there.
Yeah.
And they
taking off all the time.
Miss Aunt May. Be as clueless as the other
she's
two.
She's not a doddering old woman.
She's not. And she's not Marissa Tomei.
Right.
And I do. I did say they kind of prettied her down a little bit,
but they still
kind of like Diane Lane in Man of Steel.
But they also had the running gag about how you're like, oh, your hot aunt.
Yeah. Or she's definitely still the hot aunt.
Yeah.
But
she's
not Marissa as hot as Marissa Tomei is.
But this was really good.
It was great. It was so
really good.
It was a lot of. I guess it's probably Spider-Man. I've got the guy tattooed on my body, so he's my favorite.
I almost thought you were going to say butt.
Well, that is part of his body. Still be in the case.
Details. Be damned.
So it was just it. This was great.
The end credit sequence was awesome.
Yeah,
there are a few times where you go into the movie and then the end credit sequence plays and you're like, well, this end credit sequence is so much better than the rest of the film. And I almost thought that for this because it was so well done. Like, it was such a great, just different art styles and little animations or whatever. But really, this is one of the few times I've come out of a Marvel movie and I'm like, that was a lot of fun.
It was like a kind of a hand-drawn
animation.
Yeah, sure. And then there's two end credit sequences. There's one where
the prison scene.
Scorpion's just like, we got some guys in here, so I'm assuming that we're going to see Thomas Hayden Church or not from, the Sandman.
Oh, that would be something.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
I mean, he was great as Sandman. Shitty movie, but it was great as Sandman. The Sinister Six might be in jail somehow.
Yeah.
And he kind of says, and we hear you know who he is. He's like, if I knew who he was, I'd kill him. He'd be dead.
He'd already be dead. Yeah.
So, he's the villain with. a moral code.
Don't know if he's not going to, if he wants to
save it for himself.
If he wants to kill himself, or if it's like he saved my daughter and now he saved me. I'm going to give him.
That's the way I interpreted it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give him a, like, you get a pass.
And then the cap scene at the end.
Cap scene was
that was
perfect.
Lecture about patience.
Sometimes you wait for something and it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You got to learn sometimes. But I do like that anytime he's not wearing the Avengers 2 suit, he's wearing that awful Avengers 1 costume that did not look right for whatever reason. It was like the most comic accurate costume, but there's a reason those don't work on screen all the time. But yeah, it was really good. This John Watts has, I think he's done 2 movies. Like Cop Car was super weird but really good.
Yeah.
And now this.
Yeah. And I thought, like, if you've seen Cop Car, there's a lot, like, he has a delicate hand because it was working with 2 kids primarily for most of the film, even though Kevin Bacon is what sold it. It's working with 2 kids. And you can see that a lot of times, his delicate hand as a director, the scene in the car with Peter and Vulture. And I mean, there are a lot of small elements that just worked one on top of the other throughout the course of the movie. And it just,
they kept a lot. I mean, I also like that they kept a lot of this practical and and in the environment, in the right environment.
You know what you didn't see in this movie? De-aging.
No.
There wasn't a single person de-aged in this movie.
That's right.
Like the last four movies I've seen.
I like, you know, seeing like
I thought that was a joke about the Vulture and his ability his ability to de-age people.
So, no, I mean, I like seeing the actual, like, you know, environments and you know, the street level.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery? We'll put a pin in this.
No.
Okay, then we're done. Go watch the old Spider-Man TV show.
Yeah. I was going to say, what about like an alternative? Like, well, this was really great, but if you want to feel horrible after watching it,
Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3.
Or Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Now, have you watched Spider-Man 3 since?
I have not.
So you've never seen the dance sequence?
No, I have. I saw it on home video, and that's when I realized my mistake. Like,
okay.
So well, anyway, let's go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Brian. You can find me at Lord Spathington.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Don't forget, we're on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. And that's it for this episode. I have no idea what we're doing next week.
I think it's apes.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. So
I'm sorry.
I like them so far.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
There's the Brian Spathington.
I did have a nice nap during War of the Planet of the Apes. So War for the Planet of the Apes. Yeah. Sorry, prepositions.
Anyway, so that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Ross electrocutes the Queen.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.